Does the Irish pub have a future? It was once at the heart of rural Ireland, but drink driving laws, cheap alcohol in supermarkets, the smoking ban and higher overheads have caused many publicans to shut up shop. The annual conference of the Vintners' Federation of Ireland begins today in Trim in County Meath, and Valerie Cox is there. Valerie, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
What are the main topics for discussion?
Well, everything here is happening against the background of the closure of 150 pubs last year. And then in the first quarter of this year, almost 40% of pubs have made reductions in staff numbers. The vintners are not happy with the government, and today they're going to vote on an emergency motion deploring the level of inaction by the government on the reform of alcohol sales. Now, shortly we'll be talking to the Secretary of the Vintners, Michael Fitzgerald, but first I've been talking to a selection of pub owners about their problems. And first we'll go to Gerry O'Dea from Limerick City. Now, Pat, you'll remember Gerry because he shot to international fame a couple of years ago when he opened his pub on Good Friday.
Well, it was an interesting occasion, to be honest with you, because it was the first time it ever happened in the country. There was a big match scheduled in Limerick, the Munster-Leinster match, which was great rivalry and great fun in the town. Unfortunately, it fell on Good Friday, and we tried to get IRFU to change the date, but it couldn't happen. So we applied to the district court, and because I was the chairman of the Vintners at the time, it was me who made the application. So we applied to the courts, made our case, and then lo and behold, we managed to sell drink on Good Friday.
Well, I was there that day, and it was buzzing. But it's not like that all the time, is it?
No, unfortunately not. You know, the recession has probably hit most and hit hard, really. And pubs in the Limerick area and generally around the country would be back getting from 30 to 35% of sales at the peak. Now, maybe the Celtic Tiger was, you know, overinflated, but we have been hit pretty hard and I would think harder than most, you know.
Why is that?
It's a combination of things. People's spending power is down and they're choosing very wisely how they spend their money. They're faced with lots of choices now. At the moment, we're competing with multinational supermarkets, a lot of low-cost drink sales, and we're finding that very difficult.
Now, you want the government to do something about it?
Yeah, they've talked a lot about it for a long time, but we haven't seen any action. You know, that's been from the World Health Organization, Roisin Shortall before her, followed by Alex White. They've all talked about the need to maybe reform the sale of alcohol, but nothing's happening.
Now, you mentioned health there. But surely you're trying to get people to drink more alcohol, not less.
Well, no, I don't entirely agree, Valerie. I think, like, for example, it's been in our family for about four generations now. We started in 1836, where we are, even though we're still in the city. And it's not about getting people to drink more alcohol. It's about providing what we think is a safe and a comfortable environment for drinking. You know, I think the Irish do have a kind of an unusual, and it's been acknowledged, unusual relationship with alcohol, and a lot of binge drinking has crept in over recent years. We think the pub is the perfect environment for the safe drinking of alcohol, so we see ourselves very much as part of the solution rather than the problem.
Now, that's Gerry O'Dea from Limerick City. You spoke to some smaller publicans as well?
I did. I met Andrew Smith. Now, Andrew owns the Louth Arms in Tallinstown, which is near Dundalk, and he told me how the trade has changed over the past 10 years.
10 years ago, I would have had maybe 10 staff employed. It was just myself and my wife and two kids now.
And you make the kids work as well?
Well, they're not kids. The youngest is 17 and the eldest lad is 20, but he also has his trade as well, because there wouldn't be enough in the business to keep the whole lot of us going, you know.
And how have things changed? Is it that not as many people are drinking, or what is it?
There's not as many people drinking, but the costs have gone up so much. Like, it's phenomenal, the overheads that are there with Sky, your rates, your water rates, insurance. The costs are just phenomenal, you know. Our customers are not, we would leave at the moment, we've a people carrier. I mean, if they were to take the VAT off the cars maybe and get the insurance reduced maybe, and, you know, take the VRT even off the people carriers for the public and to leave their customers home as we do, you know.
What about the ban on smoking? Did that affect you?
Being perfectly honest, and I would be telling you lies if I said it did affect me. It probably didn't affect me. We have a little smoking area at the back of the pub, and, you know, people use that. It's heated.
That's supposed to be a great place for matchmaking.
Well, yeah, they'll tell you there's people that never smoke will go out now to the smoking area for the crack, because there's more people out there than there is in the pub. There's more crack out there, you know.
Then you spoke to a publican, Valerie, who sometimes opens his pub just for 7 or 8 customers of an evening.
That's right, Pat. This is Paul Moynihan, and of course, like Andrew, he also drives his customers home at night.
I'm in a rural location in Dinard, in West Wicklow. Times are very tough at the moment. In the last 5
maybe 7 years, probably trade has dropped by a half. Any business that's going to find it very difficult to survive. We're trying our best. Life is very difficult. Rural isolation is a problem with us. We're trying our best to get people to the pubs, get people home. Personally, I'm driving people home now. There's no taxis in my area, no cabs as such. There's one cab works at the weekend. But I say, otherwise, I'm in a position where I have to more or less drive my customers home at night.
And obviously the drink driving laws have affected a rural area like that very much.
One of our biggest problems in rural Ireland is probably the drink driving laws. I say we're trying our best. I say as publicans, I say we can't condone drink driving. So we're trying our best to get people into the pub and let them experience a good time and then try and get them home safely.
Now, you're open every night of the week. So what's a typical night like?
It's obviously, a Monday night to a Saturday night is quite different. But we open our doors. I'm open at 6 in the evening. Up to recently, I was open earlier. Monday night, people come in, and I said there's still lots of happy people having a few drinks. I have to say now, during the week, it's quiet. Typically on a Monday night, if I had 7 or 8 customers in at night time, that's it, like, you know what I mean? And that's the truth of it, Valerie, that's the truth of it. That's the industry that I'm in at the moment. 5 years ago, I would have had 20, 30 people in.
So is it worth staying open?
But sure, listen, what are we going to do? I say, we're in for the long haul. We're in a depression, you could call it now, in Ireland at the moment. So we're trying our best to say this depression can't last forever, hopefully.
And that's Paul Moynihan. We're joined now by the National Secretary of the Vintners Federation of Ireland, Michael Fitzgerald. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Valerie mentioned the emergency motion that you're going to propose to your members today. Maybe it's already been passed, but what do you want the government to do for you?
Well, we want them to do what they promised. They've been promising for the last 2 years to introduce measures to tackle what they're from, minimum pricing, price-based advertising and segregation. But 2 years later, we're losing an average of 38 jobs a week and they're still talking.
The effect of minimum pricing, what would that be?
Well, it'd be that there would be maybe 10, 15 cents on an individual item. I mean, it doesn't sound an awful lot, but it's a start. I mean,
would it drive more of the off-sales into the publicans' hands? Or would it simply reduce the amount of off-sales made in the supermarkets, just people would drink less?
Well, it's not a cure-all, but it's a start and it will help it. I mean, you can't have at the moment where it's cheaper to buy long necks in supermarkets than it is to buy a mineral water or a bottle of milk. I mean, it's just gone crazy.
Segregated areas for supermarkets and restrictions on how alcohol is promoted. What are your concerns?
Well, the concerns are there's a voluntary code of practice that was brought in, and that said that it was one area of the supermarket was to be had for alcohol that you wouldn't have to pass through it if you were buying food.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of places that voluntary code is just totally flouted. You walk in, and I'm sure you've seen it yourself, and you walk in the door and there's a pallet of beer on a special offer in your face. I mean, you know, it's crazy.
So although there might be a segregated area for alcohol, the special offer might be staring you in the face.
Exactly.
And the way alcohol is promoted, I mean, there have been a lot of restrictions over the years in terms of where you can advertise alcohol. You know, in television, for example, it's only beer, not spirits, and it tends to be confined to the later hours of the evening.
Yeah, that's okay, I'll tell you. But if you look at your Sunday paper, I mean, there'll be at least 4 pages with a third of them taken off with prices of, you know, crazy prices on alcohol.
And this is as part of supermarket chains advertising.
Exactly,
they will
exactly.
be pushing the beer. Do you believe that beers generally and spirits are loss leaders for supermarkets?
You'd have to say that. I mean, I was looking at an offer there recently of 20 long necks for €15. I mean, we can't buy them in the cash and carry for that. So
whatever deals they are doing as chains, they have better purchasing power than you guys have.
Also, but also what they're doing, because if you take it, the alcohol sales in the big multiples would be about 5 or 6%, yet they reckon it drives 40% of their footfall. Now, you can see what they can do. I mean, like, when you take the average of, we say, the small off-license or pub, where we say 80 or 90% of their business is alcohol, so you can't, you know where you can compete.
Now, in terms of getting people back into the pub, which is what you want, I mean, the smoking ban, we heard earlier that it, you know, affects some, but not that particular publican. The smoking ban is there. It's not going to be rescinded.
No.
What measures do you think the government could help you with to try and get more people back into the pub?
Well, the one thing at the moment, and I think we're seeing this in all over the country, is there's a lack of money and a lack of confidence. I mean, you can't continue, I'm no accountant, but you can't continue to tax and tax. There is no money out there. And, like, people are nervous, they have no confidence. And it's not only in the pub. If you look at your ordinary street, I mean, every second shop is closed. I mean, there's no money. And if this austerity continues, it's worse it's going to get. It's not working.
Hmm. So putting more money back in people's pockets or the confidence to spend what little money they have might help your business.
But
what about the price of alcohol in pubs and the price you mentioned earlier? So mineral waters, they seem to be insanely priced sometimes.
Well, in some places they are. But, I mean, I would say, like, at the moment that there is great value in pubs. I mean, the price of drink was never cheaper. I mean, the price of drink in pubs has gone down over the last few years. You're also seeing pubs that are doing food or giving value offerings. And where you see the, I think we're number three on the tourist ratings for people coming into Ireland. It's the one thing, and it's probably one of our biggest assets for tourist-wise is the pub. And they have, if you look at the research, they have said that the best value they get in food in the country is in pubs.
What about a Hackney scheme? I mean, we heard publicans, they're both driving their patrons home of an evening. They're taking it upon themselves to run their own Hackney service, if you like. I don't know what the legal situation of that would be. But how big a problem is it that people simply won't come to the pub because they won't drive home?
Well, see, that is really, that's a huge problem. And in fairness, like Minister Alan Kelly has been trying to promote a Hackney scheme in rural areas that would allow people to get into the business without a huge cost, but he's running into problems insurance-wise, and like, that's what we're pressing. I mean, like, if you're living 3 or 4 miles from a pub in the country, there is no public transport. There is no way of getting in. You know, it's grandish in a rural area, but if you're living in a town, but in a rural area, you're isolated.
Mm. And do you think a Hackney scheme would work?
It would help.
Improve your business?
It would help. It would help. It's not going to cure everything, you know, because you're not going to cover everywhere, but it would, you know, allow in a small area with small population that somebody could get into business, have a business themselves, you know, and ferry people in and out.
I mean, is the reality that you're going to be a bit like the part-time farmers? You'll have to be a part-time publican?
Well, that's a fact of life at the moment, because around the country, a huge amount of pubs don't open until 6 o'clock at night because there is no day trade.
So someone has a day job and then opens up the pub at night, it becomes more a hobby than a business.
It is. Well, because there's no pint, there's no one there.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing food, and you know, there's no drink during the day.
Right. Well, Michael, you have a lot of problems to discuss there today, and thank you very much for joining us from the Vintners Federation of Ireland conference in Trim, and thanks to Valerie Cox as well.